Good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing today? I hope doing well. Start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We get to look in your word, Lord, and you help us to understand what we're seeing and what we're reading, and gives us some insight into what we need to know to help us today. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So being ready for Christ's return. Oh, no. I am sure ready. That's something I look forward to a lot. But also want to make sure we take as many people with us as possible. So that's my prayer, is that we can reach as many as possible before that time comes. And we're in Luke 12, 35 through 40. This is part B of what we were talking about yesterday. And let's just get right into it. One thing I do love about this particular passage is that Peter asked a question, and I'm so glad he did, because it helps us to understand what's in Jesus' mind. So starting right off with that question, verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to everyone, to all? And thank God he spoke it to all of us. And the Lord said, Who then is this faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? I can read quite a bit into this particular statement, based on the fact that all of a sudden I got this tickle in my throat that's developed in the last few minutes, and it's driving me a little bit batty. So hopefully I can get through this. This faithful steward, who then is this that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? So I think this is speaking of the period to come in the Millennium Kingdom. And so who is this faithful steward? And I believe that faithful steward is anyone who looks to the Lord God as their Lord and Savior and follows whatever teaching God, that Jesus teaches. And then we follow him and listen to him when it comes to what he wants us to do in life. Some verses to help us understand this over in Luke 19, 15 through 19. And jumping ahead a little bit here in Luke, but I think this will help us understand it better. And it came to pass that when he was returning, having received the kingdom, that he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money. This is that parable where the landowner had given money to each one of his servants to go on and invest it and basically make more money. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, the pound hath gained 10 pounds. So he was given a pound and he had gained 10 pounds. And Jesus says, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thy authority over 10 cities. Again, pay attention to some of this terminology. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained me 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So I think what we're driving at here is the fact that we're talking about an inheritance and what God is going to bestow upon us. And I think as we move into the Millennium Kingdom, what faithfulness we had on this earth in doing what he wanted us to do is going to manifest itself into how much responsibility and what our job is going to be in the Millennium Kingdom. that's what I get out of this anyways. And another passage similar over in Matthew 24, 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? This is the Matthew version of the Luke account. Blessed is that servant whom his his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That verse right there kind of tells us that, particularly as the time approaches, that we should be ever mindful to be keeping our mind on the Lord. And wouldn't it be awesome? I love to hear this. Many pastors have always said it. Wouldn't it be awesome if the rapture happened when we're all in church? You know, all of a sudden the entire congregation disappeared. Except maybe a couple that were stumbled in there didn't know that hadn't been saved yet. With the use of modern technology, they can do it pretty easily. So I've seen this video of a pastor up there preaching away in a congregation out there, maybe 100 people. And all of a sudden, you hear this cuckoo, this boom sound, and everybody disappears. There's like two people in the audience where there was like 100, and the pastor's gone too. So it's going to be an interesting thing for anybody that's around us who's not saved. I wonder what they're going to think. And I think that's the other part that I want to really stress for this lesson today, is that if at least we're planting seeds, and my thought is that 1 minute after the rapture, there is going to be a huge revival. Everybody that we've spoken to that refused to accept the Lord, or said that mocked us or made fun of us for what we said, is going to realize that, maybe so-and-so was correct. And they're going to immediately look for a Bible and try to find out what's going to be happening. And at least turn themselves to the Lord, and we'll see him in the millennium kingdom. We may not see him in heaven, but that when we get back down here to earth with Jesus, that they'll be there with us, and we'll see him again. That's my prayer, anyways. So keep planting seeds, even if you don't, even if we ain't the ones that water them and get them to grow to fruition. Okay, back to Luke 12:43. Now we're going to see the Luke version, what we just read. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto ye, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Talking about all he hath, Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This is what we all will hope to hear when we walk in that faithful day in the rapture. Well done, good and faithful servant. At least that's what I hope that I hear. This prophecy is also in Daniel. And if you're going to be there Sunday mornings, we're not in Daniel 12 yet, but we're going to get there. But here's a little taste of it right now. Daniel 12:2-4. This is one of the visions one of the prophecies that Daniel got later in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. I believe this is talking about the final sheep and goat judgment we're going to see at the end of the tribulation when we all come back. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And that prophecy right there is coming true, I believe, right now. And when it says running to and fro, there's been a lot of speculation on what Daniel was given as a prophecy here. But running to and fro could be indicative of the fact that we just a very fast-moving society. That if you look at Daniel's time, most people, the fastest thing on live was a horse. And here we got jet aircraft and all that kind of stuff. So it could mean that. It could mean other things. Like running to and fro means that we're just going from one extreme to the other when it comes to certain things. Like you look at some of this things they keep trying to claim that are destroying us, running to and fro global warming, global cooling, and climate change, and we've got to fix this, and we got to fix that. So that could be also what it's talking about. And knowledge shall be increased. Now, I think that's very true. If you really look at, I've often imagined if I was in like 1,000 years ago, if I lived 1,000 years ago, some of this stuff we're reading in Revelation and Daniel, there's no way you're gonna be saying to yourself, how can they do this, How can one person run the entire world? You think back to like, 1000 AD. There was no phones, there was no TV, there was no way of even talking to people halfway around the world unless you actually wrote them a letter, which takes weeks to get there. And that the only way you could travel to Europe was by ship. So, I mean, there was no way of the kind of information that we have available to us now. We know everything, particularly like the two witnesses, you know, dying in the streets and their bodies lay dead for 3 days, 4 days. We wouldn't have seen any of that. You know, we wouldn't have seen them raised from the dead. That would all be happening in Israel and nobody, you know, no phones, no nothing over there. I'm not even sure that, you know, the telegraph and things like that weren't even developed yet. So you can see that knowledge shall be increased. We're getting to a period now where it can definitely see that most of the things talked about in the that's going to be happening during the tribulation are very possible. You know, talking about the mark of the beast and being able to track everybody and not allowing only those that take the mark to buy and sell and all that kind of stuff. Being able to see things that are going on in Israel here in real time. All that kind of stuff has only been available in the last 100 years or less. Also in Revelation 3:21, continuing in this, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. That actually was supposed to be before the Daniel thing. That's okay. It's out a little out of order. Okay, Luke 12:45. But, and if that servant say to his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants, maidservants, and maids, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. So basically, this is telling us that we have to be patient. People since Paul's time have been looking for the rapture. And because there's no prophecy of exactly when it's going to happen. The only thing we do know is that it will happen prior to the tribulation. And that and when you start to see the signs of the tribulation starting to manifest themselves, then it's a good idea that the rapture can't be far off. But talking about being patient over in 2 Peter 3:3-4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is thy promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And you're starting to hear this now, you know, like, the Bible's a bunch of fairy tales. You know, it's, you know, it ain't truth. You know, it's they make up lies about it. And so whenever you hear somebody scoffing or saying that, you know, that you don't know what you're talking about, just keep this verse in mind that that's actually a prophecy and you're seeing it fulfilled. So it means we're getting closer. Back to Luke 12:46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So that's basically talking about people who are scoffing, who don't, that we can't reach, and that, they don't want to listen to us about the salvation. So they just keep mocking us, and that they're going about their way. They love their worldly things. Well, someday that they will be appointed their portion with the unbelievers. Talking about that also, Paul talking over in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Going back to our picture, I just remembered I forgot to get my big cursor. Let me get my big cursor here real quick. I'm getting good at finding this adjustment. Talking about the thief in the night, we've got him up here, right here. Trying to sneak over the wall with his bag of money. But I ain't going to do him any good in the, for the rapture because we won't be here. But it doesn't overtake us like a thief because we're in the light. And maybe that's what they're depicting here, that we're people of the light. We know we can see the time approaching. It could also mean this one here, maybe. But this picture is supposed to depict all the things we're talking about here between verses 35 and 59. So, okay, Luke 12:47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, and neither did accord to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That's what we got right here. That's an indication of being beaten with many stripes. There used to be a rule that you couldn't whip somebody more than 40 times. So it came to be known that Pharisees would always order a whipping of only 39. Had to be one less than what was allowed. Verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with fewer stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him that will ask the more. Verse on this one here, talking about I think this might be a little bit of an evidence, too, of different levels of hell. It kind of indicates levels here when you see it says that they commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with only a few stripes, but unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. This might be an indication by Jesus that depending on your level of knowledge and that you refuse him might be your level of punishment. Kind of an interesting thought. And we see a little bit of this over in Leviticus 5:17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Numbers 15:30 and 31. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, in other words, intentionally, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, that thou soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And also Deuteronomy 25:2. And it shall be if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that he judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. That's where they got the certain. It goes on to verse 3 and it say, that's where the 40 stripes came from. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. At least if any he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then the brother shall seem vile unto thee. So you see, well, that's where the 40 stripes came from. Also over in Luke 10:12-16. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Again, here we're going with different levels of punishment. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. I explained this when we were back there in chapter 10, basically what's going on here is that Jesus is comparing Tyre and Sidon had committed abominations unto the Lord, and they were punished for it, but they were somewhat in unbelief because they were pagans, they were Gentiles. Whereas so basically Jesus is saying because Bethesda, and he's also going to mention Capernaum and other places, and I think Capernaum is the only one he mentions here, those places will get punished even more because they knew the truth and they refused to accept it. So continuing here, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in. So in other words, Tyre and Sidon would have, if they knew as much as you do, they would have repented long ago. Verse 14, but it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, and this is where Jesus was actually teaching, which art exalted to heaven shall be thrust down to hell. And he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And also over 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And this is an example, a good example of Paul. Even though he was taught by some of the greatest of the Jewish leaders, which he was actually persecuting the Christians because he thought he was doing what was right. But once he realized he was doing wrong by Jesus himself, he repented of it. And he felt he was doing it because he was ignorant of the he had never been told about Jesus and who he was, I guess, is what these, what basically this is saying. But I also think it's an indicative that Jesus ensures that everyone has a chance to either accept or reject him. I tell this story a lot because I really enjoyed this book, and I really need to find out the name of it because I keep talking about it so much. But there was a woman in a Muslim country that wrote a book, and that she was really persecuted when Jesus actually came to her in a dream and told her about himself, and she became a believer. And the story talks about how she was persecuted by her own family, and how she was there was a couple of times she was actually beaten, and that she went through pure hell living in a Muslim country. She don't say what country she's from. It's probably to protect her family more than anything. But she finally made it to the United States and lives here now somewhere. This book was quite a while ago. But that story just reminds me that I think Jesus, for even if they don't hear the gospel from somebody, and even though we have missionaries everywhere and we're doing as much as we can, that I truly believe before the end that every single person will, before they die, has that right from Jesus one way or another to learn about him, or to at least get curious enough to try to find out about him. So I see a verse like this kind of confirms that for me. Okay, well, that's all I got to do for this particular one. And we will, this ends the this chapter. No, it doesn't end the chapter, I'm sorry. This ends this section. And we're going to go on to the next section. Will be we'll finish off chapter 12. But that'll be it for today. And so let's end with a prayer. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your words of wisdom and knowledge to help us to completely get to know you in every way possible. Thank you, Lord, so much for all you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I didn't get to a lot of these pictures, but we will look at more of them, I think, when we get more in the next lesson. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow. So have a great day, and we'll see you later.